blessing. You're back in the house of the Lord again. And we thank Him for every opportunity that we get. We should do what we can to serve Him. For He has brought us this far. So let us just always be mindful of Him for all things that we do. Amen. We're going to read this morning from Psalm 84, verses 1 through 12. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful that you have given us a desire and strength in our hearts and minds to come together to worship. Father, we pray that we may be surrendered unto you, that we may hear your word, Lord, that they may give us strength to go on through this time. For we know that Satan is like a roaring lion, Lord, seeking whom he may devour. Lord, for all things that we try to do for you, he tried to hinder us. Lord, but let us hold fast. Let us not give up. For you are precious to us, and you will meet us in that day. If we just hold fast in Jesus Christ's name, we pray. Amen. We're going to read Psalm 84, verses 1 through 12. How admirable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts!
My soul longeth.
Yea, the sparrow has found an house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altar. O Lord of hosts, my King and my God.
Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will sing and praise thee.
Selah. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, and whose heart are the ways of them. They go from strength to strength, every one of them in Zion appealeth before God.
O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Hear, hear, O God of Jacob, Selah.
Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed.
For a day in my course is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness.
For the Lord God is the sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. Amen. God bless you. May be seated.
Amen. Just one time in his presence makes all the difference. Amen. Hallelujah. Brother Thomas, would you come up and take up the tithes and offering?
Let us pray. Dear Lord, please bless Brother Day and Brother Wade for all their gifts and measures. Lord, please bless the tithes and offerings and all the good purposes. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Let's sing that song, Lord, I Want to See Him. It's on page 8, but if the brothers will bring it up on the screen. How many want to see more of God this morning? I remember that scripture, Brother Ulti, when he ministered here in Psalms 36. It really just resonated. It's in his light that we see more light. And he brings that revelation to our heart. And not only we see who we are, we see who we are in him. Amen. Hallelujah. As I journey through the land, singing as I go. has gotten us, and he's a real friend. Amen. When everyone else is gone and you're just sitting alone, he's a real friend. Amen. Let's sing that song, God on the Mountain, in the key of C. I think it's 694 if the brothers are bringing up. I tell you, we serve a living God. He's a God of good times and a God of bad times. I love that scripture where Paul said, all things work together, the good and the bad, for that life that we are striving for each day, just building that character in us. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, life is easy when you're up on the mountain and you've got peace of mind like you've never known. But things change and you're down in the valley. Oh, we've all been there.
When things go wrong,
God in the bad time, the God of the day. He's still God in the night. Amen. Let's give him a hand clap of praise. Amen. Good to be in the house of the Lord today. Good to have each and every one of you here. What a wonderful day to praise the Lord. Amen. I pray everybody had a good week. Bear with me. Today we're going to try something a little bit different. We're going to see if we can come up into the 21st century and maybe use this. Now it's configuring, Brother Anderson, so I'm going to have to wait just a minute. So by way of announcements, let's go ahead and get those out of the way. Brother Luis and Sister Christine and some of our youth are at the Beaufort, South Carolina youth camp, and they're having a wonderful time. I think maybe this afternoon we're going to try to play a little bit of the special that they sang last night. But we thank Brother Luis and Sister Christine for being over there with them and for them having a good representation of the church over there with the youth. So that's where they're at today, is there with the youth. Also, with the youth, I'm going to fly to Ohio tomorrow night and be there until Thursday with them for a little while and have a little fellowship with them. So just keep me in your prayers. Brother Bob will be speaking here Wednesday night. Then we will have the youth service next Saturday at 3 o'clock. And you need to get with Sister June today about the food, because I think we're going to go ahead and have spaghetti again like we did, because it's really simple, really easy to have that and to have some salad and stuff like that. So I think that's what we'll do again. If that's all right with y'all, I think it's the simplest thing to do. There wasn't a lot of stress. And we're looking for a good time in the Lord. Brother Kidry Diggs will be with us. It's been a long time since he's been here. But we pray that you're praying for the service. Amen. So I think we're... Can you put that on there now, Anderson? Is it going to go? Also, remember that we'll only have one service next Sunday. What's this? One service next Sunday. That will be with Brother Diggs. And also, we will have foot washing that afternoon. That will be the whole second service. Will be nothing but foot washing. I'm sorry, foot washing. I'm thinking about all what I'm doing here. Sorry about that. Y'all just have to bear with me. Ta-da. Now we got it. Okay. So we got that. We're going to have a baptismal service next Sunday afternoon. We're going to set up the new baptistry, and we're going to anybody that wants to be baptized. I think we already have about 5 or 6 that are going to be baptized and rebaptized. But we're going to do that next Sunday after the first service. We will have a baptismal service. What we may do is go, if anybody wants to go eat, or we just may have it directly afterwards. So we'll just talk about that. We'll decide that next Sunday. It won't matter one way or the other. But if you want to go get something to eat, maybe, or we'll just start right into the second part of the service, which will be a baptismal service. And like I said, there's 5 or 6 going to be baptized. Sister Corinna will be here from Ohio. She's going to get baptized along with some of the other ones that have expressed interest in being baptized and being baptized again. It's just a good conscious thing to do. If you don't know, like I was baptized long time ago as a kid. Really didn't know what I was doing. I did it because I think somebody else had it. Somebody else got it. But I want to do it, make sure that I did it, so I had Brother Dale do it again when I was older. And we want to make that as a good conscious to the Lord. And something that the devil can't say, well, that person that baptized you is now in the world. There's a lot of people that have been baptized that the message person's not even in the message anymore. So to have a good conscience, if you want to be baptized, we're going to baptize anyone that wants to be baptized next Sunday after the first service. Has everybody got that? Say amen. Amen. All right. Also, now June the 18th will be the Father's Day fishing trip at the pond over at Terrence and Zach's. We'll start about 8 o'clock in the morning. We'll have hamburgers, hot dogs. It'll be for the kids and for the boys and the men. No girls allowed. Sorry, it's Father's Day. No girls allowed.
But we'll be having fishing, and we'll have hamburgers and hot dogs there on the around the pond, and just fellowship there on that Saturday. Also, July the 3rd, remember, Brother Chris Long will be preaching for us. Our anniversary, 51st anniversary meeting, will be just on Sunday. We'll have two services on Sunday, and then we will eat a meal after that, and we'll get together on all that. I know that's a month or so away, but I try to announce these so you can understand that we're having something later on in the month and make your plans for it. Also, July the 22nd through the 25th, we'll be going to Ohio. As I see now, there's 42 people have signed up, which is wonderful. They about fell over in Ohio because I told them maybe there won't be about 25 people show up. So it's going to be 42. Some are going to drive. Some are going to fly. But we're going to, I called two Trailway bus places or charter bus places, and they can only drive 10 hours at a time. So we'd have to stop, get a motel, have another day there, another day back. So we're just going to rent two vans, and that puts 20. If we get two 15-passenger vans, that's 29 people riding in two vans, so we'll do that. And if you still want to go, now if you don't want to go, you need to let us know. All right, if you're still on this list and you don't want to go, now that we've changed a little bit, I know some of you wanted to get on the bus, but that's okay. Because we'd have to leave a day early. You'd have to pay a motel bill, an extra two motel nights. They just can't drive over 10 hours. They can double up, but it's way expensive to do that. They have to send a driver 10 hours up, put him in a motel, and then he picks up and drives on, and then you got to pay for that guy to come back here. Then you got to do that when you come back. So it's about $1,400 extra to drive straight through. So we can rent a couple of vans almost for that. But if you still want to do it, there's room. If we have to get three, we'll get three. But we'll work on that later on. But just keep that in your heart. We will leave sometime late Thursday night or early Friday morning. It's a good 12-hour trip. And then when we get finished Monday, we'll leave Monday morning. We'll have a youth service on Saturday. And then we'll have one church service on Sunday and then have fellowship afterwards. So just keep that in your prayers. And if we're trying to look for some Airbnb so that people can stay together and not have to be in a motel room. So we're working on that. There's not many big houses up there, but they are on Lake Erie, and they are really pretty. So I'm working on that. So maybe when I get up there this coming week, that's probably one of the purposes I'm going to go. One of them is to check out the place and the facility and where we can stay and all that other stuff. So, but we will probably have a church service here that weekend, and whoever's left behind. I didn't want to say it like that, but whoever's left, we'll have a church service. We're talking about playing a tape, but maybe if some are not going, then we just have a regular church service. So just keep that in your prayers. So, and also, Sister Mary Kamani sent a message. I know some of you may have got it on WhatsApp, but her maid's got the bad cold, and now she has that same bad cold. Her right hip is hurting, and it hurts when she sits. You know, she's had that accident. Her desire is to get to church, so we're just going to pray that all that will go away. And she asked also for the healing of her mind because of anxiety. When you have to sit around and your world's turned upside down, you get anxious, you get all, you know, light chest, and you get all the butterflies and all that stuff. A lot of anxiety comes with that when your world gets turned upside down or wreck or accident or whatever else. So let's just pray for her now and pray for the rest of the service. Let's bow our heads. Dear Lord, thank you for this day. We pray now that, number one, you come here and speak to us today, Lord. You be the speaker, Lord. You be the one that gives revelation. And Lord, as the word goes forth, I pray that if anyone's sick in the building, we know that Sister Mary Kamani's had a special request, Lord, and we pray now that you'd send the Holy Spirit there with the healing power that we know it has inside of all of us, that we send that to her, Lord, that she'll be raised up for your honor and glory, and the hip will stop hurting, and the cold will go away, and her desire is to come to church, Lord, and I pray that you just grant her that desire, Lord, to keep her out of that anxiety. It's just the devil. You do not make people anxious. It's the devil that makes people that way. And devil, you have no hold on that sister. You got bride here today praying for this one sister, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you'd be with her. Bless her. Comfort her, Lord. Be with each one that's not here, Lord, the ones that are sick, the ones that are traveling, Brother Luis, Sister Christine, and the young adult over in Beaufort, that you'll give them traveling mercies back, Lord. We pray that you'd sanctify us in this journey. We commit all things unto you in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's turn to John 1, verse 1. We got it there on the screen, so I'm going to try to be able to move this thing myself so they don't have to. How about that? John 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And in verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You may be seated, and the Lord add His blessings to the reading of the Word. I hope all of you, I hope all of you sisters last Sunday, if you did not get a Mother's Day card, if you did not get a Mother's Day card from the church, you need to let Brother Terrence know, or Sister Lisa know, because that was a gift to you mothers, and some of you I know weren't here, but we want to make sure everybody gets a little gift from the church, and make sure you thank Brother and Sister Dale for providing that gift on Mother's Day. Amen. A little thank you goes a long way. You know, Brother Branham, that guy just walked up to me, and you could hear it in Brother Branham's voice. He said, that man walked up to me and said, I don't need anybody to tell me thank you. I don't need anybody to tell me a good sermon. I don't need this. He said, Brother Branham said, that man was lying. Every human being likes a good pat on the back every once in a while, or a good sermon, or attaboy, or thank you for doing what you're doing, and thank you for all this that you're doing for the people that you really didn't have to do. But you did it out of the goodness of your heart. So we need to make sure we're appreciative and give it back and thank Brother and Sister Dale for doing that. So let's now, Romans 10 verse 8 says, but what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, the word of faith which we preach. That if you shall confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe on thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. All right, we're going to talk about just baby form salvation. They're going to pull up the chart in just a second, I think, over on this side. But I have this week, I've kind of tried to pull it back a little bit so that we can all understand. I don't want to run away from anybody, but we got to understand we got to be born again. We got to understand how and why and how's the way. There's been many ways. Brother Ram told us 50-something years ago, 60 years ago, he said the new birth is the most ill-taught subject in Christendom because one says it's this, one says it's this, one said I cried, one said I shouted, I quit chewing tobacco, I quit doing this, I quit drinking, I quit. That's not the new birth. All right? That's not the new birth. Amen? The new birth is God personally coming to you, and we'll talk about it in just a minute, and burning out, not just softly, oh, he's going to come in, is this soft? No. The kingdom of God is taken by force. He's going to rip that thing out of you. He's going to pull that thing out of you, and he's going to kill it. That old nature I'm talking about. Not your soul, the nature that's attached to it, because if he kills your soul, you're dead. And if God kills your soul, you're in trouble. All right? That's Gog and Magog. That's way a long time from here, because the only one that can kill a soul is the one that gave you a soul. Amen? Satan can't kill your soul. He can pervert your soul enough, though, where God has to kill it. Amen? Righteous judge, he can't stand evil. Thou shalt be saved, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And as we were talking last week, and last Saturday at the Bible study, if you'll compartmentalize all these things, you'll understand it a lot better. Because once you get born again, see where that bracket says Son of God? Can y'all see it from over there? Sorry. We're going to leave it over there because I need to have this one over here. Technology. But see where the bracket says Son of God. Son of God, and we'll read it in just a few minutes. That was what God, the new birth in the church ages. Everybody with me? And that group got the message of their time, their little box. They lived that message. They lived that time period. They lived the word of God for their day, and they died, and they were put in the sixth dimension, because the Son of God is what? The Holy Ghost. The baptism of the Holy Ghost. But what is the Son of Man? It's that Holy Ghost inside of a human being. All right? The Son of Man Now, don't get me wrong, but the Son of Man has nothing to do with your new birth. It does, but it doesn't. You understand what I mean? The understanding of the Son of God puts you in the body of Christ. You come up in the first resurrection. You don't have to stand to judgment. You don't have to go through the tribulation period. You get to live in the city. You're bride.
Amen.
Amen? But those people have gone on, and we'll read it in just a few minutes. Oh, we'll read it this afternoon if we get to it. But that Son of Man at the top, that's something that's never been taught before. That was Jesus himself. He was the Son of Man. Everybody with me? All right, so look, Christian walk of God is right here. Not down here. You're still walking in flesh and walking in sin till you get born again. Then you come to the revelation, not revelation of the Son of God, but it is a revelation that you're born again, that God has given you the new birth, and these virtues are going to now flow out of you if you'll let them. But this is a special, the headstone that's been what? I put special anointing over there. That headstone was rejected. So in other words, it just disappeared. In the church ages, it was not taught. It wasn't supposed to be taught in the church ages. The prophet tells us that in the end time, the Bible tells us that the Son of Man is to come back in the end time, just like he did when he walked the shores of Galilee, in a many-membered body, and that will be for a body change, not for salvation, not to make it in the rapture. I've never taught that, never will teach that. You born again, as look, see that little baby shadow right there? If you're born again today, that's you today. If you just started. And that baby is going to make it in a rapture. The first resurrection. With all the other bride. But you've got to have, look, you've got to have somebody to come to the wheat maturity. To bring these people out of the ground. To bring these people up. They, listen, they without us cannot be made perfect. So what does Paul tell us? He says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ. I'm going to read that real quick and then we'll skip through it. Leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection.
Amen.
Everybody with me?
Amen.
This is the epitome of perfection. This is your body change. This is only, see how little it is? Only a small group of people is going to attain to that. Small group of people. But we have the ability to do it. By the opening of the seal, by the opening of the word of God in the end time, God has told us there will be a group of people
Amen.
That will stand and death will not be able to harm them. That's what we're looking at.
Amen.
Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection. We were talking about this the other day. Not laying again the foundation of repentance. We'll talk about that a little bit because you can't keep coming back to the foundation. What if you walked out and built a house today, but you were going to build this great big house to live in, and you built a foundation, and you started setting up furniture? What are you shaking your head for? That's what a lot of people do. They get in the foundation and say, well, I live right here. I'll start putting my, and then the first time what? First time the wind blows, it's going to blow whatever you got. Sitting on that foundation. But that foundation is for you to what? Build walls. Build a roof. Then put your furniture in. Build a wall. A living, moving, breathing instrumentality of God, the prophet of God said. Build a house. You're starting down here, but build the house. Give something for this to reside in. Because if not, you're going to be tossed. By every wind of doctrine. As the Bible tells us. Of the doctrine of baptism, the laying on of hands, and of the resurrection of the dead, of eternal judgment. And this will we do if God permit. 1 Corinthians 13:9 says, for we know in part and we prophesy in part, but that which is perfect. Son of Man was perfect, was he not? I know some of them came to certain parts of perfection, but the Son of Man was perfect. And then if that Son of Man is supposed to come back in the end time and come inside of me and you in its fullness, it makes us perfect. Thank you very much. Then that which is part shall be done away with. Not done away. You can't say, all right, I built a house. Let's rip the foundation out from under it. What's going to happen, Brother John? House going to fall. House is going to fall. Doesn't matter how good you built all this up here. If you leave that foundation, it'll be fine. But if you want to take that foundation out from under the house, uh-uh. When I was a child, I spake as a child. Brother Bob was preaching my sermon today. It's all right. It gets you in the mindset, maybe. It gets you in the same furrow. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. It's not bad to be a child. It's actually really good to be a child. Look at all the things we do for... if a baby starts crying, what's the first thing we do? Almost the whole church goes looking. What do they need? But now, if Josh starts crying back there, unless the Lord attacks him pretty good, if he just starts crying and say, I need my mama, we ain't going to pay him any attention. Half the church is going to turn around and say, what? Grow up! Stop crying back there. But I put away childish things. In other words, I put the Xbox up. Now listen, if you like to play Xbox and you're 50 years old, that's okay, but it's a waste of time. I didn't get amens from those that still have Xboxes. But you don't need a lot of discernment when people are going. But what does that mean? It means brought to an end or finished. That's what I like. This is why we have to come to perfection, because it will end the dispensation of just being born again and living for God. Because see, the Son of God revelation is these virtues. The revelation of the Son of God, we'll get into it this afternoon. Brother Brown said these virtues without the Holy Ghost is a stumbling block to the believer. Why? Because you got to start at the foundation. You got to start down here, and that's what we're going to start on. We had it a little bit the other night, but we'll kind of go on a little bit more today, if that's all right. Brought to an end, finished, wanting nothing necessary to completeness. Perfect. That which is perfect. Consummate human integrity and virtue. Full grown, adult, a full age, a finisher, a perfecter. One who has in his own person raised faith to its perfection and so set before us the highest example of faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That's down here at faith. But that faith never, listen, that if faith's the foundation, it never leaves you. It's going to take more faith, though, to be here than it is here. It's going to take a lot more faith to be here than it is here. And faith is the substance of things hoped for. We're hoping for a body change. But it's an evidence that there's going to be one.
Amen.
Because that faith is there.
Yeah.
It's the fish in the water. Which one was first? The water was there so the fish can get in it. Look at the days of creation. Ephesians 4:11 said he gave some apostles. How are we going to get this, Brother Wade? Well, he give us. He give us these people.
Amen.
Prophets, apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Is everybody okay? I'm not getting you drunk by reading that, am I? It makes me where I can get through it a little bit faster. Till we all come to the unity of faith. All come to the what? Unity. Not division. Not I can't stand this person and this person done me this and that. No, we got to talk about brotherly kindness a little bit later on. It's easy to love people that love you. Love somebody that literally hates your guts. And of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. See, that's Son of God. Son of God. Didn't say Son of Man. Because when you come to Son of Man revelation, you've had a lot of teaching from pastors, prophets, teachers, evangelists, and all the different fivefold ministry. Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more foundation babies. Tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. So look, folks, they're out there. They're out there. Amen. Satan is out there to deceive. Satan is right here in your mind right now trying to deceive you. Amen. But speaking the truth in what? Love, not filial love, agape love. Amen. Love that doesn't have feeling and emotion to it. Oh, wait a minute. Nope, doesn't. Filial love has feeling and emotion, and that's what we have to filter agape love through, because we're humans. We can't have agape love without the new birth. Like Brother Brown said, filial love, if somebody strikes your wife, you'll kill him. Agape love, you'll pray for him. Big difference. which is the head, even Christ, may grow up into him in all things, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted. Every Sunday and every Wednesday. Listen to a tape. Boy, sometimes it hurts. It hurts to be compacted, but you know what? It keeps everything together. Amen. In which every joint supplies according to the effectual working. What's he talking about? He's talking about a body.
Amen.
He's talking about a body, joints. He's talking about every joint. Well, if you didn't have a joint, what would you be? You couldn't be a stature. You'd be a statue.
Amen.
If you had no joints. Some people probably wish the joint that's up under my ears didn't work very well. But boo devil, God made me this way. Maketh the increase of the body into the edifying of itself in love. And that's agape love, not filial love. So that word there means adult age, maturity, suitable age for anything. Come on, devil. Anything. If you're mature enough, you'll be able to handle it. If you're not, you're going to yield, just like I'm going to talk about that nature today. You're going to yield to the devil every time.
Yep.
Amen. 100%. Without the new birth, you're going to yield to that old nature. I don't know about y'all, but is it just me? Maybe it's me. Things I used to do, I do them no more. But it's not that I don't think about them. Amen? Let's be real. We're not message zombies. Suitable age for anything. Metaphorically of an attained state fit for a thing. Something that's what? This is talking about me and you today. It's not talking about the world. It's fit for this thing called the bride. The perfection is going to come. No one else is going to come to perfection except the bride of Jesus Christ. Only the bride of Jesus Christ is going to come to perfection. 1 Corinthians 14:19 says, yet in the church I'd rather speak 5 words. Here's Paul. 5 words with my understanding, that by my voice I might teach others. Now, not just to speak them. I got a quote I'm going to read you this afternoon where Brother Brown talks about, remember the first sermon he preached? What'd he say? Man, he said, I preached a sermon. He said, Brother Dr. Davis said, Brother Brown, that's the worst sermon I ever heard. He said, yeah, but everybody in the church was crying. He said, they cry at funerals, they cry at births. He said, you didn't say anything about the Word of God. And I think that's the way we got it now. If you cry and if you weep a little bit, it's okay, but what are you saying? Bring the word of God. Let me shout about what you're going to say. The preacher don't have to shout about it. You shout about what I'm saying.
Amen.
If it's the word of God. If it's not, then sleep on. That by my voice I might teach others also than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. Brethren, be not children in understanding. You know why he said that? Because the previous verse. People, children without understanding are going to head toward this emotional side every time. Oh, he made me cry. Oh, he made me shout. No, he didn't make you do it. You did it because that's all you knew to do. What does a baby do? A baby cries because that's all it knows to do. But now, as an adult, you have emotions to cry, laugh, not say anything, take the word of God, and grow up. How be it in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men. That's what we all need to come to, understanding. Not the understanding of man, the understanding of God. To not be children anymore. In the law it is written, with men and other tongues and other lips will I speak unto the people. And yet for all that, they will not hear me, saith the Lord. Wherefore tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them which believe. In other words, the preaching of the word of God is God telling you what he's already said about you. So he's prophesying of a group of people and to a group of people. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, but it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that have agape love.
Amen.
May I say that? But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. If you have the baptism of the Holy Ghost today, there is something that draws you higher. If it's not, you're not born again. You just got a feeling. You just got an emotion. I'll come to church when I can. No. No. We're way past that, see? We don't have to sit here and judge people. The people that just show up every once in a while and don't come back to second service, don't show up on Wednesday night, you ain't born again. You ain't born again. Get born again. Because there's some born again people come to church every Sunday. Every Wednesday. That's when the born again people come to church. The ones that are not born again come to church when they want to. If it hits you right between the eyes, you need a new birth. And that's all. It's just simple as that. Why are you talking about me? I ain't talking about you. I'm talking about the devil's inside of you. He's getting you to do that stuff. Because it searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit that's in him? That's what I was just saying. We can tell the spirit that's in people by the things that they do and the way that they act. Sure, we have all our little intricacies that I may not like, you know, music, and but I like hunting. Now, that ain't got nothing to do with the Word of God. Amen. That's humanity. Right. But when it comes down to the Word of God, if you're doing these things, you're not born again. If you're doing these things, it shows that at least you're trying to get born again. If you're not already, you're trying to get born again. But just listen, folks. Everybody in this building has been in the message at least 2 or 3 years. I'm looking around just to make sure. If you don't know for a fact that coming to church is a duty of a Christian, you are deceived. You need to get born again. Well, I got this. Brother Tom Fallbush, he used to come, and I'm going to tell it. Is that okay, Donnie? Brother Tom Fallbush had a problem with going to the restroom. Number one, he wore a catheter and made his own bag and tied it to his leg. He was here every single service. And you can't make it because your cat gets cross-eyed every once in a while. Come on, people. It's time to grow up. If you don't come to church, you ain't born again. If you don't have a desire, if it doesn't say, hey, I've got to go, not that, I want to do this. It's just something in my heart. Well, I've got, you can get all kinds of excuses. That wasn't in my notes, but you got it anyway. Because what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of the man which in him? You know what? Take a guy that's in the world. He's got a spirit in him. You stay around him long enough, you'll find out what that spirit is. Same way with a Christian. Supposed to be. Because look, even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Because without the Holy Ghost, you can't understand God. You just come into church because somebody told you to. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God. So there's a spirit that we have that we didn't have before. Everybody with me? We're going to try to get into it. If we don't, we'll get to it this afternoon. But we talk about that stony heart. And Brother Ram talks about God giving you a new spirit. It's not the Holy Spirit. Everybody with me? But he does give you a new spirit to start coming. See, that's what. I'm back it one more time. In sanctification, you should want to come to church all the time. Just in sanctification. Because the unclean spirit goes out, you want to come to church. Not the new. Well, I come to church now every Sunday because of the new birth. No, you don't. You might know why. But you should come to church in sanctification. Because Brother Bram says your name goes on the book as a believer. You become religious. But it's a hard one to stay at, though, because Satan will make you deceived and set you in a church and tell you that everything's okay and you're all right. And you ain't got to understand what the preacher says. That's hogwash. I just told you what it said right here. The spirit is what? If you have the Holy Ghost and it's down there at the bottom, it don't want to stay a baby. Amen. So who makes it stay a baby? We do. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the nature of man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. We'll talk about that in just a few minutes. The nature, the natural man. You were born with an Adamic nature. You were born with a nature sinful. You can't help it because you were born in sin. That's why you were put on free moral agency and God gave you a choice to make. We'll talk about the age of accountability maybe in just a few minutes. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. I tell some of you now, oh, I really don't have to come to church. I'm in the message. I can watch online. The Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourself together. I know there's some can't. I know there's some that live a long way, and I know there's some that are older, and that's fine. But if you're healthy, I'm going to use the Tom Fawbush. If you got a catheter wrapped around your leg and you want to be in church, you'll be in church. God will make a way for you to do that. Because I know that probably 90% of the people sitting here today did not know Brother Tom had that. Every service, he was here every service, even on Wednesday night. He had to go back there and empty that bag, but he came to church. And you know what? He's in glory right now. Because he did what God asked him to do. You come to church. You do what you're supposed to do. And I'll make you a child of God. Because if we don't have the Spirit of God in us, we're what? It's foolishness to us. When I was out in the world, when you were out in the world, it was foolish to want to come to church. Don't get quiet on me. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Listen, when you get the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you become a spiritual person in God. Now, you're a spiritual person now, but you get the new birth, it moves you over to new desires. But remember, we're predestinated not just to get born again. We're predestinated to grow, to adoption. We're predestinated, and we are being pulled up that pyramid by the Holy Ghost. It's up there on the very top right there. That's what, you get the new birth here, you get the new birth here. It cannot do anything but pull you up. So if you're not being pulled to grow, you don't have the new birth down here. I wish we'd look at ourselves in the face every once in a while. Say, am I really doing right? Am I really born again? Or am I just sitting in a church? And oh, there's some good preachers in this church. Ain't no doubt. But you can sit here and go to hell with five good preachers in this church. So the Son of Man ministry, just to get before we get started on the stages of adoption. Because remember, you can't be adopted without being a son. So we're going to get to this, and then we're going to back way up, all right, to the birth. But when we look at this chart, and I thought that I simplified it, but maybe I didn't. But the new birth gets you in the body, then the virtues start working through you, and then the Holy Spirit seals it in because you're what? You've come to adoption, all right? Then the Son of Man ministry comes on the scene and caps that off. In other words, sits down on top of that, and you're fully connected. Amen. That's for your body change, not for your new birth. The Son of God is the new birth. Everybody with me? All right, now we're looking at the chart. And remember, adoption is not your birth. So it's not. We got to pull this apart. Now put the next one up, please, brother. The one that we've been dealing with, and I wanted that in its fullness makes you a Christian. Amen. A son and daughter of God. Right there. That's what makes you a Christian. Everybody with me? Amen. All right. Everything is in that, though. The life of that plant that you plant in the ground. Remember, you plant it. It got roots. It's got to be established. And then what does it do? You go out there and say, man, I got corn up now this tall. I think I'll just cut it off. Well, it's corn? Well, potentially it's corn. It has the ability to put ears on the stalk. But it's got to go through one stage, two stages, three stages. And then that's got to lay in the sun to ripen all the virtues. Is everybody with me? All right? That's pretty good. So we know that there's three stages of adoption, and it has to start with your birth. Romans 8, verse 14 says, many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Everybody all right with me doing this? This was working out pretty good. For you have not received the spirit of bondage to forget to fear. Listen, you're in bondage until you're born again. No, I'm free. I can do all I want to do. I can do everything. You're bound. You're bound. Because when you do get born again, you look back and say, that wasn't freedom. I was bound. I was bound, but now I'm free. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption. What? A new nature.
Yes.
A new spirit that's motivating you to do the things of God.
Yes,
not the things of the devil.
Amen.
All right? We'll get to that in just a second. But you have received the spirit of adoption whereby you cry, Abba Father. Our Father, Father. The Spirit itself bearing witness with our spirit. So you have a spirit.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit bears witness that we are the children of God.
Yes.
All right? Children of God. Look, children of God, and if children, then heirs. Heirs of what? All that was up there when the first one.
Amen.
All that up through there. Every promise in the book is mine.
Yeah.
Every chapter, every verse. How are you going to know that, though, if you're not born again? Some of you heard me up at Brother Jules. You got to have as Brother Brown said, you got to have the heart of the composer before you can read the sheet music. You got to have some kind of ability. I mean, I look at these notes, and they mean absolutely nothing to me. A flat, B flat, B. I know there's a C, whatever. You start with the letter C, right? C is the middle key. I knew that. But other than that, I don't understand. Because what? There's not a spirit in me to play an instrument. But if there's a spirit inside of me to play an instrument, I'd know what that says. So guess what? When you read the Word of God and you're not a Christian, it doesn't mean as much to you as if you're born again and read the Word of God. But look, it's okay to be a child. That's where you got to start. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Where was the, I love the picture of Brother Branham. A picture of the bride. They got one with the bride up here, but they got one with Jesus standing here with the Hoffman's head at the top. Because that is who that is. That's who we got to emulate. No, we got to be that. But now it's not going to be real fun. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. You got to have a nature change. Because if you don't have a nature change, I said before, you're always going to go back the other way. Without a nature change, you're going to always go back the other way. Always go in the other direction. All right? Why? Because you were born contrary to God. So if you're born contrary to God, it's like Brother Ram talking about the shooting of the gun. How you can't ever get that bullet trajectory back right until you come all the way back and start at the foundation. Start at the blade in the front, the two blades in the front and one blade in the back. And when you line them up, then you can shoot that bullet and it'll go right to the target. But if you're off an inch here, you'll be off 50 inches, 200 yards away, because it just keeps continually going away. That's why I'm telling you, stay in church. You say, why do I have to go? How many people have been successful not going to church? There ain't a Christian in the world that'll tell you it's better to stay at home than it is to go to church. If he's a real born-again Christian, you really have to never ask that question. It's the weak ones you have to ask that question to. I'm sorry, we have weaknesses. We all do. But we ought to be over this coming to church business. You get born again, you'll come to church.
Amen.
Well, I make it when I can. That ain't the Spirit of God. And the worst thing in the world is when you start getting in trouble, what's the first thing that you do? You disappear from church. Amen. That's foolish. That's absolutely the most foolish thing you can do. Is if you start having problems in yourself, what does Satan want to do? Divide and conquer. He wants to keep you away from it. Because you just might get the Holy Ghost if you hang around Holy Ghost-filled people. Amen? Hey, listen, you hang around drunks out when you're in a bar, what's the first thing you did? You got drunk. Because the environment you were in made you act that way. So let's come to church and get drunk on the Holy Ghost. Let it change your life every once in a while. So now let's look at justification. Let's start with this bottom one down here. But what saith that the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart? That is the word of faith which we preach. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. There's millions and billions of people that have come to that place. But they stay there. They stay there. And Brother Brown says, if you die right then, you're going to go to heaven. Now, he doesn't call you bride. You will not be bride. You will go to heaven, though, because your past sins have been chopped off. You've done what the Word said to do. But now listen, everybody in the sound of my voice that's still awake, you don't have that option. You've not been taught that way. You do it, you're not born again, you're just doing it out of ignorance, and you're doing it because Satan's getting you to do that. For with the heart, just talking to somebody the other day, for with the heart, that's where you believe. You believe in your heart. If your heart wants to do something, and in justification, let's simplify it right here. I'll read it in just a minute. It just chops off your past sins. It gets you to a place to where you said, I'm done. It's like Brother Luis is talking about. I'm tired of this stinking thinking. I'm tired of the place that I'm in. You know, who is that? That's God. Because Satan is never going to tell you you're not in the right place you need to be unless you're out in the world doing the thing. But I'm talking about coming into a religious environment or a Christian environment. If you feel uncomfortable, then you need to get the new birth. Okay, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. How's that? Romans 3, verse 24 says, being justified freely by his grace. We'll get into that a little bit later on, going up to statue of a perfect man. Through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, watch, whom God has set forth to be a what? Propitiation. Through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past. You cannot get forgiven. We heard a preacher one time praying to God to forgive his future sins. Can't do that. That's Catholicism. I'm sorry. And then the man turned out to turn the message down. So just saying. But you can't get forgiven. Lord, forgive me tomorrow. I know I'm going to do it. I know I'm going to do it. So forgive me. No, get born again. That's our theme. Get born again. But you get remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. But it's from your heart. To declare, I say thee, at this time, his righteousness is not yours. Because you know what? You can justify yourself and be wrong. But God can't justify you and be wrong. And you be wrong. If God justifies you, those who is justified, he is already glorified. He said, to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him that believeth in Jesus. You've started in baby form justification. You know what? You're not going to forget those sins, but God did. Remember I talked about the sea of God's forgiveness? And don't go fishing. There's a no fishing sign. Don't go fishing in the sea of forgiveness. What do we do? First thing we do, we go, well, I'm doing this because. No. If you're truly justified, you stand clean before God at this moment. Now, remember, though, the unclean spirit has not left you. You're going to continue, as the prophet of God says. You're going to continue to do, if you were a thief, you're still going to continue to steal. So that's a hard thing for people to see. But in justification, it does, it chops off your past sins. It gets you in a place to where God can soften you, get ready to soften you up and start dealing with you. All right? Where is boasting then? It is excluded. So forget the boasting part. Well, bless God, he chopped off my past sins, so I'm just going to get another truckload of them. God knows your heart. And unless you really are repentant, he ain't going to forgive those past sins. Because you really didn't mean it. You're doing it with a motive that's off the word of God. So watch, but the law by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude, Paul, we conclude this, that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Do's and don'ts. You can't get clean under the law. Once a year, the priest took the blood, sprinkled it, went inside the Holy of Holies, sprinkled it, come back out, said, okay, our sins are not done away with. They're covered until next year. We got to do the same thing again. And that's why Paul says, don't make the blood of Jesus Christ like that you got to come in and out every year. You got to go in and out every year. Like I said before, one more time, get born again. Amen. It won't take care of all your problems, but I promise you, it will help you deal with them. Amen. Justified freely. First stage of justification. Chopped off your past sins, unclean spirit still there. Everybody with me? Amen. We need to go through this because we got some young ones that are here. Now let's go to sanctification. Matthew 12, verse 43 says, when the unclean spirit has gone out of a man. Oh, here we go. We're fixing to change something here. We're fixing to change an attitude. Because when the unclean spirit goes out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeketh rest and findeth none. Then he saith, who? The devil, the unclean spirit. So that's not the Holy Spirit, right? Everybody with me? It's not the Holy Spirit, it's the unclean spirit. When he goes out of a man, he walks in dry places. And when he, look, watch this. Then he saith, I will return into my house. He still got possession on you. Brother Brown said he was a squatter. He doesn't own the title deed, but he's a squatter. There's a difference in possessing something and being having a title deed. You can possess a piece of property until that owner stands up, walks in and says, I own this thing. Get off my land. A lot of that happens overseas. They have a lot of places. People will go to the United States, and they'll have a piece of property, and they'll come back about 6 months later, and somebody's already built a shack on it. Well, they possess whatever's there, but they don't own the ground. So that's what Satan done through the fall in the garden. He has possessed me and you. Yeah, he's a possessor, all right. Then he saith, I will return into my house from whence I came out. And when he is come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. This person, we'll talk about in just a minute maybe, if we get to it. This person has decided to start doing things different. And let me give you an example of that. When you come to sanctification, that unclean spirit's gone out. It's an unclean spirit. So you start getting a little different attitude. Now, I'm just telling you what happened to me. The unclean spirit's still there, out there. All right? You don't throw it out there. It just, God just takes it and you do what? You come to church. That's what I said before. People in this message and in different denominations says, oh, you just believe the message. You shout, speak in tongues. You got to be in the message because you're sitting in the message church. That's a lie of the devil. Lie of the devil. What have you done in 10, 15, 20 years? Have you grown any? Well, no, I can't get. I still cry a lot. Stunted growth. Come on, people. Then goeth he and taketh with himself seven more spirits more wicked than himself, more religious than himself. And they enter in because there's not a cap been put on it. There's not a seal been put on it. So the water can get out or we'll get back in, one of the two. And they enter in and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation. Is it so? I know I got the new birth because no. If you fall under a real, true a work of the Holy Ghost of sanctification, that's when all that junk goes out.
Yes.
That's when all that goes away.
Amen.
But then what's going to happen if you don't have a tie post?
That's
right. If you don't have a spiritual rudder,
yes.
What's going to happen is your vessel that you thought you could control.
Yeah.
Come on, somebody.
That
you thought you could control the first wind it blows. Where's he going to blow you? Right back at where you were before. Right back out there. But with that rudder that you have, it doesn't matter if the wind blows. Listen, it might be sideways. We come flying into, me and Dad went bear hunting, and we was in this little crop duster. Wasn't very much, about 12 people on the plane. But they come flying into wherever we were in New Brunswick, Canada. And I couldn't see the runway because it was so little. I was sitting on the first seat, and I wasn't no further from here to Sister Zoe from the pilot. No door there. That's how little that plane was. And I could look out the window with him. And there they're flying the plane, and the yokes are turned this way. You know what I'm talking about? The yoke's supposed to be this way when you're landing on a straight runway. I look outside, Brother John, I see pine trees. And I happen to look this way where the engine was. I see the runway. I'm like, I hope we're going to make another pass. But what was the crosswind was like 30 miles an hour. And they were running into that crosswind. And just right before we hit the runway, that yoke was like right before we hit the runway, he turned it and set it right down. Why? Because he had control. He had a rudder. So the winds can blow you every which way it wants to blow you, but look, they had their mind on that runway, and when they hit that runway, they were right on that white line.
Amen.
Why? Because they were skilled pilots. They had grown up past the baby stage. Now, what if a baby had been sitting in that seat? We'd have hit the pine trees. But a skilled pilot was on board. A skilled pilot will get you where you're going.
Amen.
Same thing with the Word of God. 2 Timothy 2:19 says, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal that the Lord knoweth them that are his. Let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Depart from doing what you used to do. That's sanctification, not the new birth. Don't dwell on that because, like I said before, you don't have a rudder. You will go back to where you were before. But in a great house, there's not only vessels of gold, silver, wood, earth, some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore, what? Purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel of honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use. What is sanctification? Cleaned and set aside for service, not in service. Compound word, Greek word. Cleaned and set aside for service. Not put in service. And meet for the master's use and prepared unto every good work. Listen, there's a lot you got to do in these two stages. Because it is a work of the Holy Ghost. But you know what it's doing? It's going against your nature. Let me just say this just a few minutes. And we ain't going to get nowhere. But it goes against your nature. We're not forgiving people when we're not born again. Hello, somebody. We're not very forgiving people. People in the world, that's their problem now. They can't forgive. Things that happened hundreds and thousands, 200, 500 years ago, they cannot get it out of their head. But if you're a Christian, gone. Gone. Don't even worry about those things. Paul said, in other words, throwing those things that are past out of the way. Let us go on to perfection and let's just walk. No, he said run. And finish the race. Let's run. Now listen. Now watch. Judas Iscariot. Swallow. Was justified by faith. And believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. And was baptized. Let me ask you a question. Everybody believed Brother Brown was a prophet, right? We believe what, well, some of you do. I don't know what the rest of y'all do in this building. There's another church right over yonder. The Bible said Jesus baptized the disciples, his disciples, all right? St. John 17:17 says, before he could send them out, he said, sanctify them. So Judas was what? Justified and sanctified. Sanctify them, Father, through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And he was the word, even before the atonement was made. In other words, as a preview, Father, of my shed blood, I'm going to sanctify these. He gave them power against unclean spirits. This is how an anointed one can work in the end time. He can be given power to preach the gospel, pray for the sick, raise the dead, preach the gospel, and just be sanctified. So when one thing comes along, Satan comes along, guess what? He goes back that way because he can't go this way. He's got to go out of the message. He can't stay in the message. He gave them power against unclean spirits, and they went out and they cast out devils. Is that right? And they healed the sick. Is that right? And they came back sanctified, which we would consider the new birth by old teaching. Oh, that brother can preach like a lark. I'm telling you, I heard a sermon from a brother that preached the millennium better than I've heard anybody preach the millennium. Got a lot and still got notes from it. Mostly in my head. And he was sleeping with a 14-year-old girl. Preaching a message, y'all pretty much know pretty much who he is. While he was doing that, all that preaching, all that good preaching. So that don't mean diddly squat. Watch the life. But they came back sanctified, rejoicing, jumping, shouting, and praising God. Yes. If that's true, some of y'all are not even sanctified. Just saying. Amen. Is that right? And they said, even the devil is subject to us. Jesus said, don't you rejoice because the devil is subject to you. Amen. But rejoice because your names are written in the book of heaven. Is that right? And Judas Iscariot was with them, one of them called out, sanctified. He went to church. I don't think he ever missed a service. That ought to tell you something. And his name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, but remember, not the eternal section. Because your name can be removed. Everybody with me? Read Matthew 10 and see if that's not right. He called each one of them and Judas and every one of them right down there. He sent them out, gave them power against unclean spirits. So let's not put our I'm born again because anymore. No, you're sanctified. And you know what? You can be sanctified and be a real good person. But somewhere, like I said before, there's a wind going to blow through your life, and it's going to blow you right back to where you were. I hope this is hitting home. How the thing, this is 1955, A Hidden Life in Christ. How the thing was refreshed in the presence. Notice another thing. Once in the presence of God, you get quiet. Boy, you get quieted. It's kind of contrary to some of these meetings we've been doing, huh? You're not tossed about by everything. You know where you're standing. Yes. I'd rather know where I'm standing. Like Paul said, five words. Amen. Five words of revelation truth than to have all the shouting you can ever have. Amen. But there's a time when you need to be shouting at you what you got, that it is the truth. Amen. Amen. You know where you're standing. There's something happens. You know that you're a real Christian. You know that you've been in contact with somebody that loves you. You know that something happened down here. And it's refreshing. Amen. And not only that, but you'll refresh others. Amen. You've seen people that was nice people, but you couldn't hardly stand to be around them. There's something about them. They got a creative power around them that just seems to be different. How I'd like to stop here. Now, if Brother Brown stopped, you need to listen to this. It's like, listen, he's not Jesus Christ, but when he says that, it's kind of like Jesus saying, verily, verily. Listen, listen. Fixing to tell you something. How I'd like to stop here if it was possible, and tell you something on that. You're a little creator yourself. Now, here he talks about, we're talking about sanctification real quick right here, and then we'll close. We'll get to the rest this afternoon. He said he'd give you a new spirit. Now, that spirit isn't God's spirit. That's your spirit. God gives you a new spirit, then he says, I'll put my spirit in him. But the thing God has to do, now look, in sanctification, not here. Not here, when he's not talking about the Holy Ghost. He's talking about sanctification. There's many things to be said about sanctification. Your name goes on the book as a believer. You become religious. You start coming to church. You start reading your Bible.
Right.
Things I used to do, I do them no more.
Amen.
Like I was telling somebody the other day, Brother Brown, how can I quit being selfish? He said, just do the opposite. Just do the opposite. No, brother, I got to get a prayer closet. And I got to. He said, just do the vice versa. When I want to go hunting deer, I go to the woods. Now, if I'm confused and I want to go hunting deer, I'm going to open that door up right there and I'm going to just watch Highway 23. And every once in a while, maybe in about, I have seen one down at the end of the road. Maybe in about 25 or 30 years, a deer may come by. Right? That's what Satan is telling you about the world. Stay right here. It's coming. No, you go hunting in a different spot. Same way in sanctification. If you go to the bars, quit going to the bars.
Amen.
If you listen to, what is it, Ryan? Christian rock, crop music? If you listen to that stuff, get away from it. Do the vice versa. You'll be surprised at what station you turn on the radio will help your spirituality. You say, oh, brother, well, do something. Quit listening to rap music. Quit listening to country music that talks about your drunk mama and your 3-4 wives. That's what I couldn't understand when I was growing up. They talk about, Kiss and all them other rock, heavy metal rock bands that talks about drugs and sex and alcohol, and that's just so bad. But now let's listen to country music. All country music was D-I-V-O-R-C-E. And my mama got drunk and went to prison, and it's all bad. Even some of this Christian junk they're trying to put down our throat, it's bad too. But I tell you one thing, listen to the words, because sometimes the words can be anointed. Just forget about who's singing them, Toby Mac or whoever's singing the different things. They're doing the best they can with what they got. But listen to the words. The words are inspired. All right. I don't know why I got onto that. Look, watch this. He gives you a new spirit. Make your nature a little more gentle and settle down. Or he couldn't even live with you. Wow. Now, everybody believe Brother Brown was a prophet, right? Okay. I'm just reading you what he said about sanctification. Or he couldn't even live with you. So he has to get you fixed up first. I like that good old Kentucky English. He's got to get, no offense, our northern brethren and sisters. So he has to get you fixed up first before he can come in. I'll give you a new spirit. Then you take him anywhere. You go all kinds of places. He's got to get you fixed so you can entertain him right. Wow. Now, how can you entertain God in a bar? How can you entertain God playing rap music? How can you entertain God cussing all the time? That's what I'm telling you. Sanctification is the place that we need to realize where we're at and then move on through that and not say that's the new birth and settle down right here and don't get anything else from God. Because remember, that unclean spirit that Brother Brown's talking about that went out, all that's coming back.
Yes.
If you don't get it sealed.
Amen.
Everybody all right? Just a few more minutes, and then we'll start right here this afternoon. So that's when you're on the first altar. But when you hide away, you get his spirit. Then the Holy Spirit, none other than God himself, comes and dwells in you. And then there's something about you. The neighbors love you. The people like you. Let's listen to this. 1 Peter 1, verse 2. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through what? Sanctification of the Spirit. What is sanctification? Clean and set aside for service. And we're going to continue up because the statue of perfect man is what? Clean and set aside for service.
Amen.
All right? Even though you're already in service as a believer, there's other things you got to do. Through the sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience. Brother Wade, when do you become obedient? At sanctification. Not at the new birth. You become obedient at sanctification. That's what I'm telling you. If you don't come, one more time, if you don't come to church for half the time, you're not even sanctified. It's time to wake up. Spiritually and physically. Because this thing's going to, the door's going to shut on this thing and you're going to what? Where'd I miss it? God's going to tell you where you miss it. You missed it by not being in church. Because you know what? If you want to say, I've not had a visitation from God in so long, you ain't been to church. I thought he said where two or three are gathered in his name, he'd be right here in the midst. Amen. So if you want to meet where God is, there's a number down. Well, it's not on the door now, but used to. They're at 10 o'clock and at 2 o'clock. That's when God shows up here. And 7 o'clock on Wednesday night. If you miss it, then you'll miss your visitation from God. I know we can't be here all the time, but you know what? Some of you just don't come. But you're a believer. Yeah, you believe in something. Obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace and peace in you be multiplied. Let's read this right here before musicians get ready to come. I love this little sermon called Intervale in Sturgis, Michigan. God prophesied through the prophet and said, I will write my laws in their heart where I put them in the tables of their heart. Showing that that would be the dwelling place of God in the human heart. Not the human head, but the human heart. Amen. I will write them in my heart, in their heart. And they'll keep my statutes and so forth. This is at sanctification. We're supposed to keep the statutes. God said in another place over in Ezekiel. Said, I will in that day take out your old fleshly stony heart and I'll give you a new spirit. And I'll put my spirit in you. Now, a lot of people, even you Pentecostal people, a lot of times get mistaken in that. You get a new spirit. That's not God's spirit. That's you.
Amen.
That isn't God. You get a little happy because you get a new spirit. And you jump up and down and run around on the floor maybe and shout a little bit. Speak in tongues. Everybody still believe Brother Brown was a prophet. I'm reading his. It's not my words. It's his. And think you got the Holy Ghost. That's not it. That's a new spirit God gave you.
Amen. That's right.
That's you. Then, after he give you your spirit, then he said, I'll put my spirit. That's what's the matter with the missed meal cramps you get today. That's right. That's the reason you can't get nowhere with God. What? Grow. You can't grow with these virtues without having God in your heart. Notice, you put a new spirit. God has to give you a new spirit or you couldn't even get along with him. You can't get along with yourself. That old devil spirit you had in you. So he's got to put a new spirit in you so you can get along with his spirit.
Amen.
Amen. I will put a new spirit in them. And I will put my spirit in them, he said. After he's give you a new spirit, that's you. Don't get it confused with God's spirit. It's not. It's your new spirit so you can get along with the Holy Spirit. If he ever gives it to you.
Amen.
So it's not automatic. Because
right, right.
You and your condition never get along. What? With God. You can't get along with your wife. You can't get along with your husband. You can't get along with your neighbor. How are you ever going to get along with God?
Amen.
So he has to give you a new spirit before you can even get along with him.
Right.
So he puts a new spirit in you. And then he puts his spirit in you, gives you a new spirit, a new outlook. That's what I mean. If you don't have a new outlook, you're not even at sanctification. A new outlook, a new faith. A new faith. To what? Not have faith in the world, have faith in God. Then he puts his Holy Spirit in you, and that's what we'll talk about this afternoon. We'll start with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Let's stand to our feet. God bless you. Hope I've not been too hard, but I want to nail this thing down before we even get up and talk about the virtues. Because like I just said, and I'll read the quote this afternoon, without the Holy Ghost, the virtues are a stumbling block to the believer, to people that look around you and all these different things. Because they see you doing this, and you claim to be a Christian, they see you doing this over here. Cheat, lie, steal. Out on the lake fishing on Sunday. That's when you usually meet your neighbor. Did I say that? That's usually when you meet your neighbor. And he's going to go, aren't you supposed to be in church? Because he's not. He don't claim to be anything. But you claim to be something, and then you're out there, whatever. Listen, take a vacation, do whatever you want to do. That's fine. I don't advocate you coming to church every Sunday. You know that. But I swear, just because you don't come, you're not sanctified if you don't have an excuse. And what an excuse is an excuse. If you take a vacation, that's fine. I don't bother God. I don't think, brother. I was thinking the other day. I was listening to a tape or something. And anyway, from that tape in September or October, Brother Brown said, I'm going hunting with the boys or the men. We're going hunting out in Arizona or wherever he went. And it was like 3 weeks later before his next sermon that was taped. So he went hunting. He said, we're going hunting. That's why when they asked him, you know, about going to church, he said, now, if you're way out there in the woods and you ain't got a church to go to, he said, keep on hunting. Because I'm not saying he did, but I'm telling you, there was a gap of 3 weeks he didn't preach on a tape when he went hunting during October and November. He always went deer hunting. He had a deer hunting, what do you call it? He just had a whole lineup of going hunting with the brothers. So I'm not an advocate of you having to do that, but you know what? I'm not also not an advocate that, well, why didn't you come to church? And I had one guy tell me, because we just wanted to take a Sunday off. That one Sunday you take off may be the day the rapture takes place, and guess what? God's going to take born-again people home. He's not going to take people with sanctification home.
Amen.
Only with the new birth is he going to take you in the rapture. Sanctified, you might become a foolish virgin, and you might be so fooled you're not even a virgin. Not even a foolish virgin. Amen?
Amen.
Sorry about that, but I'm not really. Let's sing a song. Just sing one verse, Brother Joe. It's 12 o'clock already.
Deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth to thee.
To be around people, around believers, and doing what believers do. That's where we draw strength as Christians. We don't draw strength from the world. If you draw strength from the world, then you're just of the world. We drink from the right fountain.
I want you more than any other, so much more than anything.
Sing it to him.
For you alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone does my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee.
You know, I'm sorry I'm spending so much time, but, you know, the foundation, if you ask Brother Gary Krantz, to make sure the house is being built right, to make sure it's going to last and stand, you spend a lot of time on that foundation. And you know what? It's kind of messy. You got to dig down deep on one side. It may be unlevel. It may be that you've got a poor footing. And that footing's got to be so thick. It's got to be so deep. Why? Because all that pressure of that house is going to sit right down on that foundation. Everything you build on top is sitting on that foundation. And if it's what? Built on shifting sand, it'll move. Where's Brother Aaron? I kind of remember we were going across. They were building a new bridge. And you could hear it from a long way off. Have you ever heard that thing? It's driving that I-beam. And they're driving it through the water, into the mud, and they got a pound on it until it hits solid rock. Because think about a bridge. With so much water running by and all the different traffic and everything shaking, they sit there and it'd be nerve-wracking if I had to listen to that all day. But you know what? Once it gets to the bottom, it goes, bing. Because what? It's hit rock. And that's what's God doing to me and you. Make sure that foundation is right. Bang, bang. Every Sunday, every Wednesday, every time you pray, every time you read your Bible, every time you study, every time you talk to the brethren, it's God pounding. What? Compacting. So that we make sure that when we start building that bridge, that you're not going to fall. I read the scripture a couple of Sundays ago. If you get these things put in you, you'll never fall. It didn't say you wouldn't fail. We fail every day. But you'll never fall. Your building will never collapse if you build it right the first time. And that's what I want us to do. Make sure from this point on that we built the house right. We've got the right foundation and that we've got the right tools to go where we need to go. That's another thing. You have to have the right tools to build with. And it did come from, I know when I worked with Brother Joe's dad, it was hammer and nails, man. You had your little belt with all the nails in it, and you had a hammer, and you had a big hammer for the big nails and a smaller hammer for the little nails. And man, your arm and your wrist, Brother George had a wrist, buddy. You don't ever grab a hold of him. He'd grab a hold of you, buddy. Why? Because he built 20 houses a year, and this is all he did. Well, you know what now? Brother Gary, how many times you do that? Not very many. You know why? You let air do it. Why? Because we progressed in revelation. It's okay to build a house with a hammer, but it's built quicker when you use technology and you put that house together. And that's the same way with God. God is going to build us up the right way if we have the right foundation. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you give us. I pray that you'd forgive us of our sins and our mistakes that we make against you, Lord. I pray, Father, that you'd anoint every one of us, Lord. As our goal from the first of this year is to let it out. Whatever it is, Lord, we need to let it out and let it be displayed. And if we find out that it's the devil, then we can do something about it. We can expose him. We can make it so uncomfortable that he'll want to leave this house. And Father, too, Lord, the sweetness of the Holy Spirit. We know that you reside in our heart, Lord, and it's a sweet-smelling Savior, Lord. It's something that we can live with. And even as the prophet said, even in sanctification, you take that old hard spirit out and you start softening us up, Lord, so that you can put your Holy Spirit inside of us. Father, be with us as we go eat a bite, Lord, that you'll bring us together back at 2:00. We ask you to just be with each one. Be with Sister Mary Kamani again, Lord, and touch her body, Lord, as we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.
Oh, for you alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone does my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you.